Thank you, Brother Bob. I appreciate the specials today, and a lot of it having to do, of course, with the week of crisis that we had and the storm and all of that. And I said it this morning, God probably heard some strange voices this week he hadn't heard in a long time as the wind was blowing, as Bob was singing, amen. And I want to preach to you tonight. I'll maybe continue a tiny little bit that way. I'm going to give it a title, and I'll really wonder what it'll. I'm going to give the title. I really wonder what it'll show up on the tape, what it'll really look like when they get through mutilating it up there. But all joking aside, I want to preach to you on when the cream comes to the top. Now, some of you don't know what in the world I'm talking about. When the cream comes to the top, that's really kind of a little cliche. Many of you know I have a little bit of race car background many years ago, back before they made round wheels. They were all square back then. But anyway, that's a little thing we said. When the cream comes to the top, meant when the pressure's on, the guy that's really got it will rise to the occasion. When the cream rises to the top. Now, almost every kind of little world swirls around certain groups of people at work, certain areas, and that little world there. You've heard the little cliche, when things get tough, the tough get going. And we could name all those kind of little statements. But it's declaring folks that shine when the pressure's on, that rise to the top when the crisis is hit. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about reaching down inside deep and coming up with that does sometimes what appears to be impossible. Somebody said there is no way, but he'll find a way. That sort of thing is what I'm talking to you a little bit tonight. And I think it'll fit the week that we've been through to a great degree. I'm talking about character, good character. Something we don't see a whole lot of in Washington, D.C., amen? And in fact, I hate to say it, but America has had a lot of the character leak out compared to what it used to be. We're kind of at ease anymore. We have become a group of people that rather have shortcuts and easy buttons than to earn our way. I fear that's too much the truth. And kids growing up with those kind of examples, it's too bad. Fathers, you got to be careful. Your kid's not going to do what you say do. They're going to do as you do. They're going to see what you do. Father was rebuking his little son a little bit about his table manners. And he said, you just got to get some manners. You got to do right here. And son, you eat like a pig. And the little boy looked at him kind of puzzled, and his dad said, son, you know what a pig is? He said, yes, sir, it's a hog's little boy. You get the point? Get the point? Yes, sir. Character is something they need to see and know and not just hear about. And that's not just our kids. That goes all across the board. I want to look in the book of Proverbs, if you would, with me. Go to the book of Proverbs, and of course, Proverbs is a great book showing us all the ways in a practical sense to walk, and Proverbs compares things one against the other. And by the way, that's still the way we learn. Do you know that? Sure is. Now, in Proverbs chapter 4, I want you to pick it up with me in about verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, some of you are still turning. Let's get to Psalms, and let's go to the right. Let's get Proverbs. Then let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, and get to the chapter 4. I'm mocking at these college boys because I see some of them turning pages down there. 4:23, Proverbs. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This is talking about being a straight shooter. Walking straight. It's talking about demonstrating Christian character, and it's so important today. I want to deal with that just a little bit. I believe it'd be a good thing for us to just maybe review some of it. Now think about this thing. What is the meaning, really, the word meaning of character? I'll give you a little illustration. You can go out here, you got a sign you want to put up. So you get you a flat board or whatever, and you get some paint, and you paint the message on the board. All right, that's fine until it fades out, until it's washed away. But if you go out there and you get you a stone and you carve in that stone the message, it'll be there. Character is that cuts deep. It comes from the word used for an engraving tool that you dig in deep. You don't just paint it on the surface. It's got some depth to it. It's got some lastability, if that's a word. It's gonna stick. It's going to be there because it's deep cut in. And so when we think of character, it's more than something on the surface. It's something that goes a lot deeper. It's a deep impression. And it's the real us, by the way, the real us. You know, reputation, and you've heard this, it's another little cliche. Reputation is what men think you are. Character is what God knows about you to be. Goes deeper. What God knows that's on the inside, cut deeper. That's what we're talking about. It's the real us. Outside can fool you for a while. They tell me, I haven't been out there yet, but Brother Pitch tells me there's a tree down on the tabernacle out at our youth camp. That's another job we've got to do. But you know what we find sometime? We learn something with the trees falling at youth camp. When we first built the camp, just trees everywhere. And some of them big and pretty and nice. And I'm talking about so big, some of them you could hardly reach around. And it looks like that's the kind of tree that's on the tabernacle. But we discovered a long time ago, a pretty tree on the outside is not necessarily a strong tree on the inside. Because when it fell, it revealed a rottenness in its heart. It fell because of that inside weakness. And I'm talking to you about something that makes a good thought for us tonight. How deep are we? How much character have we got that God looks upon? That is the genuine, real us. Now, you can see character demonstrated outward in a lot of little things. In fact, little things reveal it sometime more than big things. I'm going to mess with you here a little bit, but you need it probably. Probably all of us do. These shopping carts you see all up and down the street, somebody had a lack of character. They took it, then they just dropped it wherever they got through with it. Somebody else has got to go get it and roll it back because somebody didn't have character enough to appreciate it and take it back where they got it. Amen and amen. If you didn't like that, you're sure not going to like some other things I got to say. The truth of the matter is it shows up in little things. Everywhere you look, little things. By the way, do you pick up trash on the parking lot when nobody sees you do it? That's character. Now you say the preacher's looking out the glass door, I better pick up this piece of paper instead of walking right over it. You didn't get any points in heaven for that. Right? But did you pick it up when nobody was looking? That's the difference I'm talking to you about. When you come to church, do you come to church to listen, get something out of it, honor God, be in His house, or do you come to sit and play with your cell phone and look at your pictures? Won't you just sit in the car if you're going to do that? We'll give you a seat to somebody else. So that's mean. Yeah, I get mean sometimes. I get tired of superficial stuff, fake stuff. The real one on the inside, I'm talking about real character that counts, that God looks on. And you can think a lot of this stuff. The storm here gave us a good opportunity now to demonstrate whether our character is superficial or deep, or good or bad. Amen? Let me ask you this. It's a good opportunity. There's a lot of hurting folks because of the storm. Some of them didn't fare good as we did. There may be some widow ladies out there that could really use some help, But you may not get a pat on the back for it. She may not be able to pay you. But could you do it as unto the Lord? Because it'll call forth some deeper character to do things like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of little things that make a lot of difference. Do we always pass the test? No. I don't stand here and tell you that I've never failed. No, I tell you what does happen to me, though. When I fail, my conscience hurts. When I know I could have done and didn't do, and should have done and didn't do, and it hurts on the inside. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is grieved oftentimes when we, that's what a hypocrite is, by the way, is a faker. One that pretends something that's not real on the inside. And I think about one time, by the way, good character's catching. I talk about the kids watching the example. It even helps other folks. I was staying in a mission house some years ago with another preacher. If I called his name, some of you'd know him. And we both had preached in the conference, and we were both about to get up and catch an airplane and get out of there. And he had to get up earlier than I did to catch his. He was in one room, and I was in another room. And I happen to know about him that he has crippling arthritis. He's in pain all the time. And you look at him, and you can see joints swelling in his hands and that sort of thing. And a good man, a good preacher, one you'd love to hear at any time, just doing a great job for God, but he's hurting. And that morning I heard him getting up real early, and he got on out. By the time I got up, I was packing my stuff, and when I walked out the door, I walked by his bedroom, and he had made his bed. And I was in a hurry, but I turned around, went back, and made mine. I figured if that man can do it with crippled up arthritic hands. Now I understand the maid was going to come in. She ain't going to trust neither one of us. She's going to tear it all off. She's going to put on clean sheets, but it didn't matter. It said something to her that we cared. And what he done rubbed off on me. And what you do may rub off on somebody else. You say, well, nobody saw me. Well, maybe not, but maybe they did and you didn't know it. That's always possible too. The word meaning is it's something deep. It's carved within. It's something real. It's something good. And real character has conviction over preference. Now, do you know the difference? Some things you prefer, and you can do them. You can choose this. You can choose that. But then a conviction is something you just don't give up easy. Something you really, really believe in. You got stories in the Bible. How about the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? You remember what the king said? I mean, he told them, when you hear the music, you better bow down. And they said, oh, king, listen. We don't know if our God's going to save us or not, but there's one thing. We're not going to bow to your music. And you remember what the king said? He said, who's that God that's going to deliver you? Well, that God that delivered them showed up in the midst of the fire. He was the Son of God. But the boys had no guarantee he was going to show up. But their conviction, they would not sell out if they burned in the fire. Folks, that's real conviction. Today I see churches selling out their convictions. I see preachers selling out their convictions. I know, and I could park on this a long time. I won't. But I'm so disappointed sometimes that even independent Baptists that started out right, and the pressure's on. We got to have the crowd. We got to pay the bills. We got to be popular. And next thing you knew, the music's gone. The Bible's gone. Everything that we once stood for. See, it was a preference, not a conviction. Boy, what a difference. What a difference. Amen. Conviction over preference is what the Hebrew boys had. Now, you're going to be challenged when you have convictions. Do you know that? The devil knows you got a conviction. He's going to see whether you really have a conviction or not, or what you'll sell it for. Some folks sell out so cheap. So very, very cheap. I think about the preacher that was riding the bus in his city on Monday. And as he got off the bus, and the bus driver gave him his change back, The preacher looked and he turned back around and he said, "Sir," said, "you gave me too much change." And the bus driver looked at him and said, "Yes, I know I did. I did it on purpose. I was in your church yesterday morning and I heard you preaching on honesty. And I wanted to see if you really were." Amen, amen and amen. The test, the conviction. What about it? It'll always be challenged. Always be challenged. Churches today, it's too bad, but we see the compromise come in. Get a rock band in, get a bigger crowd. Yeah, and you get the rock band crowd. About as saved as a man in the moon. About as Christian as that. What a joke. But it's going on today. Now you know what? When crisis comes, we had a recession. It's amazing how many convictions got sold out over money. We've had a storm right here and some other things that gives us a chance to prove or disprove or expose our character. I mean, I mentioned a while ago about the college young men and Brother Parsons. I appreciate Brother Donahue and others that just worked a night and day around here. Everything was so important that we could keep it right, keep it straight, and all that. And that takes some character. And it takes character when it comes for standing for the things of the Lord. Listen, the world is into what's been named and called and given a title for a long time called situation ethics. You know what that means? Whichever situation I'm in, that's the way I'll go. When in Rome, I'll do as Rome does. No, that's not convictions. That's not character. That's bending with whichever way the wind is blowing. And it's certainly not biblical, and it's not godly. No situation ethics. Truth of the matter is that we're in a day and time when everybody wants everybody else to do the job for them. We live in a day and time today when everybody wants it done for them by somebody else. And we've got the welfare mentality out in the mobs in the street that thinks they're owed a living whether they work or not. Have you heard me say it before? I couldn't get over it. I saw the reporter out on the street, one of them stock market mob groups or whatever it was. They picked a group there in the news all the time. And by the way, if you want to see a good demonstration of lack of character, that's it. But the reporter went around and found one of them demonstrating out there, and he stuck a microphone up to him and he said, "Do you want a job?" He said, "No, I don't want a job. I want a check." He told the truth. "I don't want to work for it. I just want it given to me." That's where our country's going down the tube so bad. Situation ethics. I've said this before. If you want your mother to take care of you, that's my materialism. If you want your papa or your dad to take care of you, that's paternalism. If you want your comrades to take care of you, that's communism. If you carry your load yourself, that's Americanism. Amen. And that's what we need, a whole bunch of folks getting back under the burden of taking care of themselves and having character enough to help others that can't help themselves. That kind of help I believe in. I believe in it. Truth is today that we're in a character shortage. Everywhere you look. The Proverbs here said, don't turn to the right or the left, ponder your path, walk on straight, be the same when the sun's shining or when the storm is. Be the same. Be somebody that can be depended on to do right. I think about during the slave days, there was a slave auction going on, and a farmer and his wife was standing there, and a young man was about to be auctioned off, and the wife said to her husband, she said, "You ought to try to buy that young man, because that man that's bidding on him will be a bad man. He'll not be a good master to that boy." Well, the old farmer, being tight with his money, slipped around upside the slave boy, the black boy standing there on the block, slipped upside of him, and he said, "Son, if I buy you, will you be honest?" And the black boy looked at him and said, "Sir, I'll be honest whether you buy me or not. That's character. That's character. Don't see a lot of that. Don't see a lot of that, but that's what we need. Whether you buy me or not. Character, that's what we hear professed at the marriage altar. Till death do us part. Right? And you see it demonstrated a lot of times when one partner or the other loses their health. And the other is faithful to take care of them. And then you see the lack of that character sometime when they desert. When it don't go just right. Oh yeah, you can spot it all over the place. It's too bad, but it's true. It's true. The marriage vows don't mean a lot anymore. And I've said this to young people over and over. The most important thing outside of being saved is finding the one God has for you. And then when you vow all that you have to that one and they vow to you, that's a lifetime vow before God. And it takes character to live up to it. But it's the right thing to do. And it's the backbone our country was built on. And as marriage is being perverted and being destroyed everywhere you look today, it is too bad, but it's destroying our country today. And it's sad that it is, but it's true. You know, real character will be the cream that rises to the top when the pressure's on. Anybody can profess it. Not too many really live it when the pressure's on. Yeah, the cream, the proof of it, rises to the top. I don't know about you, but all of us will slip up sometime or another, but when we do and the Holy Spirit grieves us from the inside, we ought to fix it. We ought to fix it. And we ought to understand that while nobody else is watching and whatever we do in the dark or think in the darkness of our heart, God Almighty has got a spotlight on it. One day, He'll play it back to us. One day, we'll know about it. I don't know about you, but I've always been the kind of guy, I didn't want somebody else to carry my load for me. I wanted to hold up my end. I wanted to be faithful. And I've said it before, I used to drive a race car on a team. We had three cars. And of course, we polled our winnings together at the end of the races of the week, whatever. And then we divided up the expenses when I was on that racing team. And then we got our share divided up. Sometime one car won, sometime all three won, sometime two won, sometime nobody won, but that's the way it worked. We had a little decal that was put on one of our fenders. Does anybody ever remember reading in the funny papers, Freddy the Freeloader? Huh? Oh yeah, Freddy the Freeloader. I hate Freddy the Freeloader. I hated him way back then before I was even saved. Because that decal, when it was put on my fender, meant that I was the one that freeloaded that week off the other two. I didn't really want any of us to get it, but I sure didn't want that decal put on my car. I wanted to carry my own weight. I wanted to earn my own way. I still have that within me, and though I'm an old guy now, I still got memories of the time that I wanted to carry it and did carry it, and I still do my best to carry my own weight today. Something about that makes you feel better about yourself. You know that? Makes it easier to look at that mug in the mirror and shave it. Amen. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Truth is, real character stays the same. Whether it's sunshine or storm, it stays the same. Real character. Real character is honored by God. I'm holding in my hand, of course, the King James Bible. It was put into English, and we refer to it as the 1611 King James. We know that some of the spelling has been changed, rightfully so, in 1769 and so forth, but no contradictions. No. If you were reading it and somebody listening, it'd read the same. even though a few words may be spelled a little bit different. King James Bible. King James Bible brought out in English 1611. In 1544, now we're only backing up about 50 years there, a little more. In 1544, England, United Kingdom of England, switched back and forth in its leadership, sometime from being a Protestant government to a Catholic government, and sometime back to Catholicism again, and it was rough times. And the government of England dealt with royal families and dealt with kings and queens. And in 1544, a young teenage girl became queen of England. She's called in history Lady Jane Grey. You've heard me mention her before. You ought to study something about Lady Jane Grey. She was quite a wonderful Christian girl that demonstrated character. Lady Jane Grey has a testimony that you ought to get a hold of. She didn't want to be queen. She was born into the royal family. The government had switched from Catholicism to Protestantism, and she was next in line to be the queen, and she and her young husband just been married a little while. She was made queen, and all the powers that be of government, but the government fell to Catholicism. Within a few weeks of Lady Jane Grey, I think it was 10 weeks or 10 days, I forget, but she was only queen for a little while. Just a little while, and the government fell and became under Catholicism again, and evil Queen Mary came to the throne under Catholicism. And that evil queen had Lady Jane Grey and her young husband brought to the chopping block. And you ought to read the story. Had their heads chopped off. You read in your Bible in the Old Testament sometime where a king got on the throne and had all the seed of the previous king killed. Well, that's what happened many times in history. So when Queen Mary came to the throne, she had Lady Jane Grey and her husband brought in and to the chopping block. Lady Jane Grey had a great testimony, even as a teenager, of being a fine Christian lady and loving the Lord. And as they brought her to the chopping block, they didn't have to drag her screaming. She walked in dignity, walked up to the block, and gave a testimony to the crowd. She said, "I want you to witness today, I die in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. I die in full trust of Him as my Savior and what I've committed unto Him." She gave a testimony before that group. And the man with the black mask on with a big chopping axe, he stepped up close and whispered to her, "Lady, please forgive me. Forgive me. I have to do this. Forgive me." She said, "Do your job." Somebody tied a blindfold around her eyes. Her hands were not tied. And rather than somebody lead her to the block, she started trying to find the block, the chopping block, with her hands. And she said, "Oh, I can't find it. Will somebody help me?" And somebody guided her a little bit. And this teenage girl placed her head on the chopping block. And the executioner chopped it off, and it fell into the basket like they had it rigged up. Her character, all the way we're still talking about it tonight. It's in the history books. Now let me say something. She died as a teenager. There were some folks there probably witnessed that. Maybe on the other side, maybe on her side, but the enemy witnessed that, and they might have lived to be 80 or 90 years old, but who would you rather be now? That Christian young girl that gave a testimony all the way to the chopping block. Oh, what she did, she's still reaping for in heaven. Giving a testimony concerning the saving power and the shed blood and the forgiveness of sin that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Real character. I wonder about us tonight. If we had to face such a thing, I wonder how our character would shine.
I hope it would shine like hers. I really do. But I tell you what, it won't shine in a situation like that unless it shines in the little things, the daily things, the daily things of life. In this storm this week, God has maybe given us some opportunity to let our character shine. Maybe to a neighbor, maybe to a lost person. I had somebody, one of our members this morning, give me a testimony that they were able to take some lost folks in their home to give them shelter and be a witness to them. That's what I'm talking about. Not just selfish, but what can I do for the Lord? It's not over. They're still cleaning up in Texas, and we're going to be cleaning up in Florida for a long time. I don't know what opportunity is going to come my way or come your way as a church member, as a Christian, to shine for the Lord Jesus and demonstrate that the cream comes to the top when the pressure's on. I hope it will. I hope Landmark will rise to the top and shine and let the character of the Lord Jesus Christ be seen in us in whatever circumstances he brings across us in these next few days. Let's stand, please.
Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, there's not a one of us that at one time or another haven't come up short of what I've been preaching on tonight. But Father, there's a whole lot of folks listening to me tonight in this room and on the radio. They forgot about that our character is what you know about us. Not just where we fool somebody else, but what you really, really do know we are. I pray, Father, you'd help some folks if the message hit them hard tonight. They'd fix those places where it hurt and the sore spots that was pointed out. And I pray, Lord, we recognize that every day we live our Christian testimony, we're demonstrating good or bad for our Savior. I pray we'd do good, Father. Lord, testing times prove whether the cream rises to the top, whether the character is deep cut or just shallow and painted on the outside. I pray you'd bless in our hearts tonight. Give us strength for the days ahead to lift up Jesus and be a testimony for him. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. We're going to sing whatever God's asked you to do. If you're not saved, we'd be so glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But if our God's people would demonstrate Christian character as we're told to, I believe we'd see more souls saved. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we have a short invitation tonight.
All to Jesus.